How many of you would say, you know what? I would love everything that God has for me. I would love to have that. I'd love to receive it. Love to claim anybody. Go ahead. No matter what the cost is, no matter what it may require of me, I want God's best. Well, the hands are like, oh, I don't know now. I don't know. Come on, people. For the flip on that then, how many of you are saying, no, you know what? What I have of God right now, it's okay. I'm good with where I am. Anybody? Some of you? Yeah, it's not a trick question. I'm just trying to get a gauge of where we are, all right? It's not like, oh, he's going to hammer us. No, just trying to get a gauge of where we are. Because here's where we are in Corinthians. We are studying 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 2. And Paul has made this argument. He's gone back and he's trying to tell this church in Corinth, because they're having a lot of issues, right? And he's saying, you have to remember who you are and what you have. All right, and there's some divisions that are happening. And he says, you need to, the way you're going to overcome those divisions and that infighting is you got to remember who you are and what you have. And we've looked at that over the last couple of weeks. And so by quick way of review, like the key verse that we've been looking at is, there it is right here, 1 Corinthians 1:18, right? It reads this. For the message of the cross is, read it with me, yeah, foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is the power of God. Verse 24 of chapter 1, he added, but to those whom God has what? Called. Christ is what? The power of God. What Paul is trying to tell this church is you have power, and the word power here, and this is just quick review, is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. When you come to a saving faith in a relationship with Jesus Christ, the cross hits your life like a piece of dynamite, and there's an explosion. And it's not an explosion that happens out there around you. It's an explosion that happens within you. And there is a complete remaking of your inner self. You got new priorities and new desires and new longings with new abilities. God explodes that within you. This is what he's talking about. It's the power of God for those of us who've been called. And last week we said, before God called you, and Paul's trying to remind him, before God called you, that's not where you were. In fact, you just look around, look at the people next to you. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were accomplishing much, he said. Because we were operating according to the world's operating system. And then he says, but with Christ, you have a new operating system that brings power, that brings a kingdom purpose, that brings an eternal impact and effect on your life. And it's yours through Jesus Christ. That's what we learned last week. And he's going to add one more thing. And we've kind of just skipped over it the last few weeks. But it's found here also in verse 24. But to those whom God has called, not only is Christ the power of God, but Christ is also what? The wisdom of God. How many of you would love to be able to know what to do in any and every situation? Yeah. Whoa, you guys are like, yeah, give it to me, yeah. Let me tell you, you're not going to get all the right answers from me because wisdom being doled out is not my responsibility. Right? It is from Christ. And Paul's going to go through today, verses 6 through 16, we wrap up chapter 2, and he wants to talk about wisdom. And so let's look at verse, first thing you're going to find today is this. In your notes, we can fill this in. Wisdom, you need to understand, doesn't come from Pastor Sean, doesn't come from your elders. God may use us, but that's not the primary. Wisdom comes from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. So let's look at this where Paul says this in verse 6 and following. Let's read this together. Verse 6, so Paul's like, you know, when people look at you, right, and you're not educated, and you claim to have this power of God, and you're living life differently, they're going to look at you and say, you're a fool. You are a moron. That's the word foolish in the Greek. You're a moron. It's silliness to believe this. They're going to say, where'd you get this wisdom? It's silliness. And Paul's like, we got wisdom. We do, however, do what? Speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare what? God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. Let's keep going. Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, however, as it is written, this is Isaiah 64, he begins to quote from, what no eye, read it with me, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Well, let's pause right there. How many of you have heard that verse before? How many of you memorized that verse? Some of you, yeah. How many of you have heard that verse in the context of heaven? Man, the half has not been told. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, the mind cannot conceive of what God has prepared for us in heaven. Anybody heard that in that context? Come on, be honest with me. Get the hands up. Yeah, I think more of you have heard it that way than you're confessing. Because that's how I'd heard it. And this is how we teach it. But listen, what Paul is saying, he's not talking about people who are Christians who are ignorant of heaven. He's talking about unbelievers who are ignorant of what God has done for believers. The things God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, these are the things that God has what? Revealed to us by whom? His Spirit. Wisdom, Paul says, comes from the Spirit of God. Let's keep going. Next slide. So in Isaiah 64, we pulled that up because this is what Isaiah 64 said. It had nothing to do with heaven. It has everything to do with what God wants to do in our midst. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of whom? Those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. God wants to bestow upon you not just his power, but his wisdom. Think about that. Let's keep going. Wisdom comes from the Spirit of God. That's in your notes. Fill that in. Keep going. Let's keep rolling. And so the Spirit of God is the one who reveals to us wisdom. Think about this. There is a wisdom that God wants to communicate to you that will help you in any situation, every situation, no matter the circumstance or the obstacle. He does. And it comes from God. It's from the Lord. It's his wisdom. And the scripture says that God is all wise, that his wisdom is so far beyond us, we can't even begin to comprehend it. The psalmist says, Psalm 147:5, read it with me. Great is our Lord and mighty in, there's the power, right? His understanding has no limits. There's nothing that confines the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge of God. Isaiah says this as well. Read this with me. For my thoughts are not, this is God talking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You get what God's saying here? I've got wisdom I want to reveal to you, and my wisdom that is going to be tailor-made for your situation is so far beyond you, you'll never understand it. It is beyond, it has to be revealed. The Spirit of God has to bring that to you. And he basically said, God's thoughts up here, your thoughts way down here. With God, up here. Without God, way down here. All right? Big gap. God wants to be able to communicate this to you. And Paul, writing to the church in Rome, builds on this. He says this about God's wisdom. In this great doxology of praise, Paul says this. Read it with me. This is so good. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Pause. Let's stop right there. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of God. God's wisdom that he wants to give you, that you can experience on a day-to-day basis. It's so deep, 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 deep. There is no way that you'll be able to probe the depths of it. It is so deep. It is so far beyond you. I cannot figure out how to get from here to there when I'm talking about God's wisdom. It is so deep. It is so far beyond me that it's his judgments are just unsearchable. In fact, the way God can move and what he can do, his finger, his path, you can't trace it. It's so far beyond you that he goes, who has known the mind of the Lord or who's been his counselor? Who's ever given to God that God should repay them? God's wisdom is so, so deep, so vast, so far beyond us that there's nothing that I could ever offer back to him. Nothing. His wisdom is so far beyond anything. It It's deep. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of God. It's unsearchable. It's beyond tracing out. Because God is the source of all wisdom. And he says this, verse 36, for from him and through him and for him are what? All things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. There is a wisdom that you can experience that comes alone from God. This is why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 9, right? It says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You're never, ever, ever going to be able to have the wisdom that you need and what God wants to bring you if you don't fear the Lord. It starts with you going to the Lord. If you have no fear of the Lord, forget it. You're not going to have wisdom. You'll be masquerading and saying, hey, I'm smart, I'm wise, I can read what's going on, I can make good decisions, but it's not what God is willing to bring and provide for you. It begins with the Lord, and understanding the Lord and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so what that means, there's a benefit for you, and I believe we put this in your notes. Let's bring it up onto the screen. The benefit is this, and I didn't come up with this. I wish I did. Chip Ingram did, but he said this. God will bring about the best possible results by the best possible means for the most possible people for the longest possible time. Think about that. Because God is all wise. His wisdom is so much deeper, wider, more expansive than your wisdom, and he is eternal, right? God is eternal. God understands all things. I mean, think about this for just a second. Right now, God is processing billions and billions of strands of data from all fields of knowledge and all experience. He is. He understands all of this, right? And he knows all the costs, the impact, the effect, the consequences it will have on your life. And he knows how to be able to move things or give you the guidance so that his will and purpose can be accomplished in your life. And it doesn't strain him a bit. God's all wise. And God wants to be able to communicate his wisdom to you. And so he wants to bring about the best possible results by the best possible means for the most possible people for the longest possible time. Now bring that to bear in your life for just a second. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever circumstance, whatever it is that stresses you out, think about, here is our God who knows all of this. And he can give you the wisdom, or he could actually change the situation so that his will and purpose can be accomplished. Do you believe that? I mean, think about whatever it is stressing you. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a financial decision. Maybe it's a business decision. Maybe it's a health decision. And God says, I'm willing to be able to communicate what you need when you need it if you trust me, if you turn to me. There's nothing. I mean, I think what a difference it would make in our life if we could get this truth into our mind and into our heart. That the life you're living right now, it's not God's plan B or plan C. The life you are living right now is God's plan A. Always has been, always will be. If there was a better way for God to accomplish his purpose in your life than what you're going through right now, you'd be living it. And he stands available and says, I understand everything that's going on, and I have a wisdom and a power that I want to share with you. And it begins with us understanding that. And that's what Paul is telling us. We have a wisdom, but the wisdom is not the wisdom of this world. The wisdom is Christ, and it's the message of the cross that's available for us. So how does God communicate this wisdom to us? Through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to guarantee us three things. This is what Paul begins to unpack in verses 10 through 14. The Holy Spirit is going to convey God's wisdom by revealing to us the things of God. The Holy Spirit is going to take what's in the mind of God, our eternal, all-knowing, all-wise being, and reveal it to you. Let's read this. Verse 10, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The word reveal, if you go to the next one right now, it's the Greek word apokalypto. It's where we get apocalypse. It means to reveal or to unveil. There's stuff that God, his wisdom is so deep and so rich, more rich than you, that unless God pulls back the curtain, you're never going to understand it, right? So these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit does what? searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? Do you see what Paul's saying? There is a wisdom that God wants to be able to communicate you, and it's the deep things of God, and it's in the mind of God. There's no way that you're going to understand what's going on in the mind of God for your particular situation unless God reveals it to you through his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit wants to make that known to you. Because who knows the mind of God other than the Spirit of God? And that's exactly what's going on in your life right now. There is thoughts that you have. There's experiences that you have that you alone in your own personal spirit, you know. Even your spouse, if you're married, does not know everything. And some of you are like, I'm glad. There are things I am not sharing, right? But you know. You know what's in there. And Paul goes on in the same way. Next slide. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except whom? The Spirit of God. Verse 12, what we have received is not the spirit of the world. What we received is not limited to our five senses, right? That we can touch, taste, smell, all that good stuff, right? We've not received just the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So that we may what? Understand what God has freely given us. No eye, no mind, no ear can understand all the things that God has done for you, for him who loves us. But his Spirit does. And his Spirit will reveal to you the mind of God. Whew. God's Spirit speaking to your spirit. That is amazing. But it doesn't stop with just the revelation. This is revelation. We're never going to know what's in the mind of God unless he reveals it, his Spirit reveals it. That's called revelation. Let's keep going. The second is God's going to make it plain. Not only is he going to reveal it through his Holy Spirit, but what the Holy Spirit reveals from the mind of God, he's going to make it clear for you. It's going to be plain for you, okay? And we read this. Let's keep going. Verse 12, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Verse 13, this is what we speak. Not in the words taught us by human wisdom, but in the words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. What Paul is saying here is, listen, God is revealing his mind to you. And how is he doing that? He is taking the spiritual realities, truths revealed by the Spirit, and he's pairing those truths with words taught by the Spirit. And so what you hear, it's not the heart or the mind of a man. What you're hearing are the words of God. And theologians talk about this. And remember, Paul, he says, we speak. Paul wasn't speaking. Paul was right. Doing what? He was writing. The message I'm communicating, what I'm speaking, what I'm writing, these are the very words of God. These are the very words of God. There's a word theologians use. It's called inspiration. That God breathed, theonoustos, God breathed, and his words come into being through the work of these communicators of his. Does that make sense? And what that is for us, it becomes the written word of God. And we call that verbal inspiration. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God breathed. Some older translations say all scripture is inspired by God. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So when you look at the Word of God, God has gone to great lengths to preserve his Word here for you so that you can have the mind and the wisdom of God. Woo! Isn't that good? And then when we open this up and we study it and we teach it, we teach, and I pray you don't hear my words. I pray you hear the words of God. And if they're just my words, I pray they fall away and all you hear is the Word of God. Because God wants to communicate it. Revelation, God reveals it through his Holy Spirit. Inspiration, God's going to make it plain. He makes it clear. He's giving you words, right? But here's also what I know. If you want wisdom, it takes more than just getting up every morning and saying, okay, God, I'm going to read your word, and you just thumb through it, and you read it a little bit, and you know the text of Scripture. Wisdom requires more than just the text of Scripture. It takes the Holy Spirit interpreting that text of Scripture and applying it to your life. I mean, think about this. This is an Old Testament example. King Solomon. Some of you know this story. First Kings chapter 3. Solomon's king, wisest man on the earth at the time. Remember King Solomon? And one day, two prostitutes come up to him. Some of you are like, oh, I remember this story. And they're both claiming this child is theirs. Remember this story? In fact, let's just read it. All right, I don't want to tease you any more on that. Let's keep going. Whoop. Keep going. We're up to just keep flying. I have to skip a lot of this. Keep going. Next one. Whoop, there you go. Keep going. One more. Sorry. It's going to sound great on the recording. But verse 17 of 1 Kings chapter 3. One of the women said, "My master, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was there with me. 3 days later, this woman also gave birth to a baby. No one else was in the house with us. It was just the two of us. One night, this woman rolled over on her baby and the baby died." Keep going. "So she took my son from my bed during the night while I was asleep, and she carried him to her bed. Then she put the dead baby in my bed. The next morning when I got up to feed my baby, I saw that he was dead. And when I looked at him more closely, I realized, this is not my son." Keep going. "No, that's not how it went down," the other woman said. "The living baby's my son, dead baby's yours." But the first woman said, "No, the dead baby is yours, the living one is mine." And so the two women are arguing before the king, the Bible says. And as a king, what is King Solomon supposed to do? Hang on for a second. There's got to be an answer for that in here somewhere. There's got to be someplace. Listen, you will never find in the Bible a case-by-case explanation for everything you're going to experience. You won't. But the principles and the truth are there. And so Solomon needed something. He needed the wisdom that he prayed for. And so Solomon says this. The king said, "One of you says, my son's alive, and your son is dead. The other says, no, your son's dead, mine's alive." So the king sent his servants to get a sword. And when they brought it to him, he said, "Cut the living baby into two pieces and give each woman a half." Right? What? Where'd he come up with that? I don't read that anywhere in the scripture. Well, I do now. But it wasn't there for Solomon. Keep going. "The real mother of the living child was full of love for her son. So she said to the king, 'Please, my master, don't kill him. Give the baby to her.' But the other woman said, 'Neither of us will have him. Cut him to pieces.'" Right? Keep going. "Then the king said, 'Don't kill him. Give the baby to the first woman because she's the real mother.' And when the people of Israel heard about King Solomon's decision, they respected him very much. They saw he had wisdom from God to make the right decisions." God wants to give you his wisdom, and what it takes is the Holy Spirit taking the revealed truth of God and interpreting it and making it clear for you. And he'll do that in any and every situation all the time. He exists to do that, to help you make the best possible decision, right, through the best possible means for the longest possible time. This is God's desire. Let's keep going. So he explains to us, in your notes, he explains to us the things of God. The Holy Spirit reveals, makes plain, and explains to us the things of God. Let's keep reading. He says this, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness." They're moronic, right? They're silly. "And they cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." The word discern, it's not in your notes, but it simply means to clarify. And to clarify through an investigation, interviewing, or an interrogation. It's like a cross-examination. I'm trying to get to the root of this. The Holy Spirit does that and makes clear the decision you have to make. Right from the mind of God to you, in accordance with his revealed word, God will interpret it so you have it. Wow. Isn't this good? It's yours. Let's keep going. This is why. So I took this picture. We were down in UCLA a couple weeks ago. This is why you have to be able to invite God into the process when you're opening up the scripture. So we're at UCLA, and I'm walking through. This is the humanities building. It's right next to Powell Library across the quad from Royce Hall. So it says right here, can you read what it says up above the door? Go to the next slide. Whoop, can you read that a little better? Yeah, Psalm 119:18, right above the humanities building. "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Isn't that a great reminder going into a classroom? on a secular campus. I'm like, that's awesome. But that's what we need. Lord, open my eyes that I may understand, that I may behold wondrous things in your word. Right? God has revealed to us, given us his word. He wants to apply it, but you have to ask him to do it. Because the Holy Spirit reveals the mind of God, makes plain to us, and interprets it for your specific situation. He will tailor it to you. We call that the illumination, really, of the Holy Spirit, which says you have a wisdom and an insight and understanding that the average person, people who are outside of Jesus Christ, don't have. You don't. It takes the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit for this book to become alive to you. In fact, I was thinking, where else do we see something like that, where somebody might have something that you don't have? And it just hit me when I'm looking at my cat, and I think we took a picture of her the other night, and it was like, you see the glowing look that comes back at you when you look at a cat at night or take a picture of a cat? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, ooh, those are demon cats right there. Oh, they're glowing eyes. So I couldn't find a picture. I know we took one, but so I found some of these, right? Got these raccoons, and I got that cat that is... Whoa, I don't want to see those things at night. They terrify me. You know why they glow? Because they have something you don't have. They have tapetum lucidum. I don't know if it's pronounced right, but it means a bright tapestry. They have another film layer in the back of their eye that reflects back, right, the light. So they are able to see in dark, low-light conditions much better than you can. They see stuff you can't see. That's why when I get out of my bedroom at night to go to the kitchen to get something, I'm like, the cats are right there. We have two cats. Anybody want a cat? We have two cats. And it's like, all of a sudden, they're like, wow, they're under my feet. How did they know I was even out here? They saw me, right? I can't see them, and they're black cats in the dark. I'm like, well, I can't see you, right? Animals have stuff that you don't have, but listen, you have stuff that they don't have. You have the mind of God, the Spirit of God, communicating with you, willing to give you not just the power of God, but also the wisdom of God. And listen, it's an amazing gift that God's made available to you, but it's only for followers of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you're like, this whole thing is a bunch of hogwash, this is just silliness, you're just speaking to me out of your flesh. Because it takes the Spirit of God in you. So Paul's actually building the argument all the way through this. So the Spirit of God is the one who brings you the wisdom. And if it's the Spirit of God, the second thing in your notes is this: wisdom is given only to the children of God. Only to the children of God. This is what he says. Let's quickly unpack this and let's try to apply it. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the whom? So we have a message of wisdom, but it's for the mature. Some of your translations may say for the perfect. Anybody have the translation that says it's for those who have been perfected or the perfect? Anybody's using an old King James, New King James? Yeah, I'm sure it's in there. So all that comes from the same Greek word. I like the mature better than perfect because perfect communicates a plateau or a status or a quality of life that we're like, we're not there, right? If I got to be perfect, I'm never going to have that wisdom. And that's not what it means. So the Greek word is teleos, right? And it means end, to come to the end, to be complete, perfect, or mature. That's where we get our word telescope. The idea is the thing that has reached its end, come to the point of the end. And so he's talking about somebody who is mature in Christ. There's somebody who has crossed the line of faith, entered that relationship with God through the message of the cross, that are growing. All right, their life, it's extending. And not only that, but they see the end. They see God's end game. They see where this whole thing is going. And it makes sense to them. This is what he's talking about when he's talking about the mature, the teleos. It's like Noah and the ark, right? Old Testament. God tells Noah, build an ark, right? I keep on thinking of Bill Cosby. I got to be careful on this. But he's like, right, right, what's an ark, right? You're building an ark, and it's in the desert, right? We have never seen rain. Why do we need this big boat? What is a boat? We don't know what this means. No one knew what it mean. No one knew what God was going to do. It made complete, perfect sense to him. The same way, those of us who have come to faith through Jesus Christ, through the power of the cross, what God is wanting to share and what he's going to do, it makes complete sense to us. But it's for the mature. This is what Paul is arguing. Let's keep going. Verse 7. No, we declare God's wisdom. It's a It's a mystery. Mysterion. The Greek word is mysterion. It doesn't mean it can't be discovered. It just means that the only way it's going to be discovered is if whoever is holding it will reveal it to you. I've got a secret. And I'm going to put a lot of clues everywhere. But not even Sherlock Holmes will figure it out. I'm going to have to get to the end, read the last chapter, figure out how it all plays out, right? That's how we read mystery novels. Like, I want to figure this out. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been, where? Hidden. He's holding it. It's not brand new. It's been here. And he's holding it as a mystery. And God is the one who has to reveal it. Hello, here it is. And that God has destined this for whom? Our glory, the believers, followers of Jesus Christ, our glory before time began, before he created anything, before he put time into motion. God had a plan that it was going to be through his son, Jesus Christ, and the message of the cross, that the power of God and the wisdom and the mind of God would be made available to the children of God. Ooh, that's yours. Amazing. Only children of God have that. Keep going. The question is, right, when you're talking about the mystery, why was it hidden and how was it hidden? And Paul answers those real fast. Let me just answer those. Why was it hidden? Verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not, what? Crucified the Lord of glory. So I think what Paul's saying here, here's why that this mystery of what God wants to do to give you the power of God in your life and the wisdom of God in your life, he had to keep it a secret, because if it was clear that God was going to invade earth in the form of a baby, writing himself into human history, if it was clear that that child had to grow up and live a perfect life and then die, and then now it's time for him to die, number one, I think he's saying nobody would lift the finger to kill him, right? It's time for him to die. You're going to do it? I'm not doing it. You do it. I'm not doing it. Get Mikey. He'll do it, right? So I think that's part of what he's saying. It's like, man, if that was the case, then nobody would have done it. Or on the other side, what he could also be meaning is, listen, if the rulers of this age, if Satan, our spiritual enemy, knew what God had to do, he'd go to great lengths to prevent it from happening. And so he just kept it a secret. That's why I kept it a secret. Because this is the only way that I'm going to be able to redeem humanity and be able to give you the power that I want to give you and to give you my wisdom. This is it. It's through Jesus Christ. So I kept it a secret. How did he do it? By keeping it in the spiritual realm, only revealed through Jesus Christ. And listen, your natural faculties, your mind, your eyes, your ears will never pick up, will never understand it. That's why he says, right, verse 9, as it's written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God's prepared. You'll never be able to pick it up with this. It's not possible. With your senses, touching, tasting, seeing, hearing, you'll never understand it. You don't need just five senses, Paul says. You need a sixth sense. And no, that doesn't mean you'll see dead people. It just means you need a spiritual radar to pick it up. Keep going. Verse 14, I believe. He says, the person without the spirit, some of your translations say the natural man. Anybody say, have their Bible that says the natural man? That's a person who's not been redeemed. That's somebody who does not have the Spirit of God within him. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. And they can't understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. Listen, if you're talking to somebody who has never come to faith in Jesus Christ, some of you are sitting here today and you're like, I don't know how this is really going to help me, Pastor Sean. There's big crises in my life, and I need direction. I'm trying to tell you through Paul, it's available to you. God wants to reveal it to you. He wants to take your life situation. He wants to take the principles of God, and he wants to line them up so you know what to do, right? And only those of you who are children of God, who have the Spirit of God within you, will understand this. But sometimes we act like people who don't have the Spirit of God in us. We act like natural people. That doesn't make any sense. This is all foolishness. This is ridiculous. Give me something more, right? Is this really the best you can do? There's got to be something more. Give me more. Paul's like, no, you got it. And so when you're talking to somebody who's a natural man, a person who doesn't have the Spirit, and I'm trying to say this as kindly as possible,
but it's like talking to your pet. It's like talking to my cat, right? My cat can see, taste, smell, right? Feel, can hear, just like you. And I can hold my cat, and I can pet my cat, and my cat loves the sensory world. Loves being stroked, right? That's the best I can do. My cat loves all that. And my cat may look at me with demon eyes, but my cat would never understand when I talk to it about redemption, when I talk to it about God coming to earth in the form of a baby, and when I talk about forgiveness of sins, my cat would never understand that. Listen, if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're not going to understand it either. It takes the Spirit of God to open your eyes and to break through. Only the children of God understand the wisdom of God. Only the children of God understand the power of God. Let's keep going. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. You have the Spirit of God. Listen, you're able to discern, make sense, everything around you. You can see it clearly. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. The world looks at you and says, you are a moron. And you're like, all right, good, bring it on. I'm a fool. That's okay. Because I understand. I see the end game. I understand what God's trying to do. And I'm going to give my life for that. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Remember, Paul uses this in Romans 11. It's Isaiah 64, Isaiah 40. Who knows the mind of God? God does. And where's God's Spirit? In you. You've received his Spirit. And God's Spirit will reveal the mind of God to you through your Holy, through the Holy Spirit. Woo. And so Paul says, but we have the what? We have the mind of Christ. Gang, whatever you're going through today, whatever it is that's stressing you out, wherever you're thinking, man, I don't know if this is just way beyond my pay grade. Listen, it's not beyond God. He wants to bring his power to bear in your life through his wisdom. It's all revealed through Jesus Christ. So clear. A.W. Tozer put it this way, and we'll begin to wrap it up with this. This is the Message translation. I like this, but okay, we'll do the Message translation, then we'll get the A.W. Tozer quote. The Message translation of verses 14 through 16 says this: the unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit, God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he's doing? Has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. Only children of God have the wisdom of God, because God wants to reveal his wisdom to you through his Spirit. Wow. And then A.W. Tozer, the quote real fast. This is from The Knowledge of the Holy. Get our minds around this. God wants you to know his wisdom. He wants to reveal from his mind to you what's going to bring the best possible results through the best possible means for the longest possible time. And A.W. Tozer picks up on this. To believe actively that our Heavenly Father constantly spreads around us providential circumstances that work for our present good and our everlasting well-being bring to the soul a veritable benediction. Most of us go through life praying a little, planning a little, jockeying for position, hoping but never being quite certain of anything, and always secretly afraid that we're going to miss the way. This is a tragic waste of truth and never gives rest to the heart. What does? There is a better way. It's to repudiate our own wisdom and take instead the infinite wisdom of God. God has charged himself with full responsibility for our eternal happiness and stands ready to take over the management of our lives the moment we turn in faith to him. Amen. Wow. Gang, whatever is going through in your life right now, God wants to make it known to you what he can do to get through that circumstance, around that circumstance. Listen, how this plays out in my life, I tell you what, I get up, I read the scriptures every day, And then I ask God, God, would you reveal yourself to me through your word? And would you make sense of this in my life today? And then I begin to look. And I'm looking for opportunities for God to show up and God to reveal himself. And it's like this last week, right, reading in our life journal. And we've been reading about the children of Israel in the Exodus. And they're in Egypt. And God says, hey, you can have manna. I'm going to feed you every day. And I'm going to give you manna, this white little crusty wafer thing. But it's going to be good for you. But you can only collect what you need for today. Don't hoard it because it will spoil. And then Jesus says something in the New Testament, doesn't he? He says, hey, when you're praying, pray to your Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then he adds in there, you can ask the Father, what? Give us this day our daily bread. I'm not worrying about tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. I got to live right now. I got to trust him right now. And how many times throughout the day does God give you an opportunity to say, feel that anxiety level? That's you taking control. Come back to me and release it. And you see how he begins to apply this. God says things like this. I want you to be compassionate. And you're like, well, I don't know what that really means, but Lord, make me a compassionate person. And so then I get my eyes open and I'm looking and I go out there and then you see somebody in town and it's like all of a sudden you feel this hand on your shoulder and you're like, oh no, really? And that person, you're like, and God begins to wreck your heart over that individual. And he moves you to that person. Could be a homeless person. Could be a single parent just trying to manage all their kids in a grocery store. I don't know where God may all of a sudden reveal himself, but if you have eyes and you're asking God, how do I live this out? How do I become the person you want me to be? You read his word, and then he takes his word, and through his Holy Spirit, he applies it to your life, and he can wreck you, and he will change you. And the world will look at you and say, what a waste of time. What a foolish way to use your resources. And you're like, no, you know what? I understand what God's doing. I understand what he's doing in my life. I understand what he's doing around me. And I see the end game, and I want to be a part of that. And God will give you that wisdom. So I don't know this morning what it is for you. Whatever situation you're going through, God will give you exactly what you need. He will. Ask him for it. Look for it. Maybe in your notes, just write this down. God, this is where I'm stumbling right now. This is where I'm really tight. It's just like, maybe it's your finances. I mean, Michael brought all these up this morning. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you have a decision that has to be made like this week. And you're like, I just don't know if I, yeah, you can with God. You can do it. And he'll give you that wisdom. Maybe some of you have a ministry decision. Listen, when God wants to reveal his wisdom to you, it's not just that you're going to have a better life. It's so that through you, God can touch this planet. So that God will give you what he wants so that it'll have the best possible results through the best possible means for the most possible people for the longest possible time. And so he may be speaking to you today, and he's like, hey, there's a ministry. Maybe it's a ministry within the church. Could be ushering, could be security, could be the information, could be a resource librarian. There's a lot of different ways to serve within the church. Maybe God's actually saying, you know, I want you to get out of your comfort zone. I want you to go to the Philippines. I want you to go to India. Maybe if you don't want to go, maybe he's saying, support those who are going. Pray for them. Fund them. And maybe that's going to stretch you. Maybe he's saying, get involved with a ministry here in the area, Morningstar Youth Ranch. They need help. There's a lot of opportunity to serve there. Talk to Diane. Maybe it's you giving a voice to the voiceless. And he says, why don't you get involved with Tree of Life? Or why don't you take, and God's moving in your heart, and he says, I want you to be mindful of those who are in abusive relationships. And so maybe he's moving you to connect with Rise in this community. I don't know. Maybe he said, I want you to fight for those who the human trafficking needs to stop. And maybe he says, you need to become part of like what's going on with North County abolitionists. Maybe it's like there's needy people in our community. They need food. And maybe he's going to call you to help with loaves and fishes. Or maybe with the toy bank and provide gifts to those needy in our community. I don't know what it is. But God may be calling you to something. It may be stirring something within you. And you're like, I don't know. God knows. And he wants you to give you the wisdom and the power to accomplish this so he can extend his kingdom. And you can be a part of it. And this is what Paul's trying to remind this church. Man, you guys have gone from being this mega movement in Greece to now you're turned inward and you're fighting and you're bickering and you're getting all torn apart. Remember who you are and what's available to you. The power of God and the wisdom of God is yours if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So I don't know what it is for you. You offer it to the Lord. The Lord will guide you. He will give you exactly what you need. Let's pray together.